A final reading from our text tonight. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. I invite you, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Just when you think you don't have a story to tell, God kind of throws one out there. Hey, do you remember when? Yeah, I do, but I won't tell that one. Looks like I'm going to anyway. So I read this, and it's an amazing, powerful, very powerful psalm. It starts out with the psalmist talking about the amazing wisdom that God has. The fact that God knows our heart, our mind, knows every word on our tongue even before we say it, and acknowledges God for who he is. The part that I left out, the middle part, talks about how God formed us in our mother's womb, knit us together, knew the hairs on our heads, basically saw us before we were even created, and goes on to say that there's no place that we can hide from God. We can go to the farthest reaches of the sea, and God is there. To the highest mountain, and God is there. To the depths of the ocean, and God is there. Even into death, and God is there. This wisdom that God has is so overwhelming to the psalmist that in the end he finally says, okay, God, search me. Test my heart. And see if there's anything evil in there. Take it out and put in me your path and your way. How brave and bold and encouraging that is. Sometimes I can get there, but not all times. In high school, I was a little bit of a rebel, probably a lot of a rebel. But we had one rule in our house. My parents' house, it was a beautiful house. It was an A-frame out in the country that had these wings. And it was just beautiful setting, secluded somewhat, sat on almost 6 acres. Just absolutely breathtaking. But my parents, they really loved antiques. And so the rule, the standing rule in our house was that there would be no parties in the house because they didn't want to take the risk of having one of the antiques broken. That was one of it, but probably the bigger reason was they didn't want the liability of, you know, having teenagers in their house doing things they ought not to be doing. So it was the first weekend that my parents decided to go to New York to ski for the weekend and leave me behind. And I was a sophomore, and so they entrusted me with this beautiful estate and all these antiques, which isn't a mistake, by the way. I see you nodding over the group, like, oh no, I see where this is going. But they came home, and to my surprise, they found a couple garbage bags in our yard up by the road. I didn't know where they were there. And inside of those garbage bags were all kinds of empty beer cans. And so my parents sat me down in the living room and they began to interrogate me about the party that I had. And I stood there and I said, I didn't have a party. Now, I wish I could say I said it that calmly then, but you know how teenagers are, because we've all been one. I got a little loud. And I got very adamant about saying, no, I did not have a party. And at one point, I finally threw my hands up in the air and said, I give up. Look around. Do you really think that I would have done this? I value what you value. You know me. You know this. And it was in that moment that my dad finally said, we know you didn't have the party here, but we were testing you. And I said, what? How did you know that I didn't have the party here? Well, as we dug through the trash, we found that it belonged to the neighbor who was a junior just down the street. She was the one that had the party, and she didn't even invite me. And I'll never forget feeling like, oh my gosh, you knew all along, yet you didn't tell me. They were testing me. And it was one of those moments as a teenager, it was a revelation. My parents were smarter than I gave them credit for. That would exponentially be true as the years went on, but it was, I think about that, and I think that's why that story came to mind tonight as I was reading that. Like, if we are to really acknowledge who God is and the wisdom that he has. And think about that for a moment. He knew you even before you were made. And in the making process, he was there along the way. There's nowhere we can hide. Nothing that we can hide from God. And if we become like the psalmist and really understand that and acknowledge that, it brings us to a place where we can drop to our knees and just say, okay, God, search away. Because whatever it is I'm hiding, it's not worth hiding because you already know it's there. And I'm tired of hiding it. So just take it away. But don't just take it away and leave it empty. Take it away and replace it with something beautiful and purposeful. something that brings glory to you. I believe that's what the psalmist is saying. When we come to that understanding of knowing and trusting and loving God for who He is, it brings us to a place where we invite God to search away and remove and replace. Remove something that we're trying to hide and replace it with something that we can show off for the glory of God. And that taking away part is what Jesus did on the cross by taking the bread, blessing it and breaking it and saying, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then taking the cup and saying, "Yes, God, thank you." And blessing it and saying, "This is my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins, for all that trash that you're trying to hide. I've got this covered. Let me replace it with a cup of righteousness." And so we come tonight praying that God would pour out His Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these common elements of bread and fruit of the vine, that they would become for us the body and blood of Christ. That as we partake, we are partaking with something that is replacing, not just covering, but replacing the garbage that we're trying to hide from God. And so, Lord, we give you thanks for that. As we pray together, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Lisa, would you come forward and serve with me tonight? And I know last week I extended an invitation to serve for communion, and we'll get back to that maybe after the flu season is beyond us. So feel free to nudge me and say, "Hey, I'll be glad to serve." And maybe in another month where everybody's healthy, we'll go ahead and do that. So, but I haven't forgotten. So if you're ready to say, "Search me, O God, and fill me with your righteousness," come, because the invitation has been set. The invitation has been extended and the table has been set. And know and trust that you don't have to be a member of this church or any church to come to the Lord's table. All you have to do is come with an open heart. So as you are being led by the Spirit, come and enjoy the love of Christ. for the beauty and blessing of this moment, where we can offer up to you the trash of our lives, and in turn receive the treasures of life. Bless this sacred moment. Amen. May you go from this place filled with the hope, the love, and peace of Christ. Amen.